I've been studying today on mountains, and seems like places in the Bible here are different places where they went up on a mountain. And each time that they went up on the mountain, there was something happened on the mountain. And I've always preached quite a little bit on the mountains, because it says, when Jesus come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Everyone that he touched or touched him healed him. When he was come down from the mountain, he had went up on the mountain to pray, to seek God. I want to turn our Bibles here to the 17th chapter of the book of St. Matthew, and read where Jesus took Peter, James, and John. She seemed like they was the closest with him. I don't guess they were, but anyhow, he always kind of leaned on these three, Peter, James, and John. And said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth him up into a high mountain apart. I want you to notice that word apart. It was apart from anything else. You know, the best place to pray is when we're apart. You know, pray apart. Just off to yourself someplace or other. So he took them up into a high mountain apart. It was apart from other mountains. It was apart from people. It was up on a high mountain. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice from the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, there was a thing here that's happened. We'll get into that in the latter part of the sermon. But here we find that Jesus took three men, Peter, James, and John, up on a mountain apart. And there he was transfigured before them. There they began to see things that they needed to see, because he was going to be the instrument that was going to change them from one way to another. You know that always before that they had the law and they had the prophets, but now they're getting ready to go into a new realm. Jesus, the Son of God. That's the realm they're getting ready to go into. So let's search and research a few of the mountains here that we're talking about. And we take Genesis chapter 8 and verse 4. The ark rested on Mount Ararat. That's where Noah and his family got off the ark, and they was the only ones that were saved. How many knows that? So when they got off of the ark, and they're on Mount Ararat, it meant something. A brand new start. How did it happen to be a brand new start? There wasn't nobody else but Noah and his family left on earth. So it meant a brand new start. A brand new start. Noah, his family. So Mount Ararat stands kind of for a brand new start. But how many people do you know that will start all over? If they mess up, they just keep getting worse. They need a brand new start. How many know who sometimes we need a brand new start? I see they've got a lot of churches up in Missouri called New Beginnings. I don't know if they are or not. I hope they are. But we need some new beginnings in the church today. How many knows that? Some new beginnings, something that's new. The old things, you know, are passed away and all things become new. And so Jesus took these men up there to show them something. And here we find that the Noah's ark rested on Mount Ararat in Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. The next thing we're going to take is Genesis chapter 22 and verse 2, Mount Moriah. That is where Abraham took his son Isaac to offer him a sacrifice. See, God was testing him to see how faithful he would be. He said, take your son, Isaac was the child they were looking for, the child of promise. And God spoke to him and said, take Isaac up on the Mount Moriah and there offer him as a sacrifice. You know what Abraham done? He woke up early in the morning and he took Isaac and he took the wood and he took the thing and headed for Mount Moriah. Now listen to this. This is where faith comes in. He headed for Mount Moriah, and there, when he got there, he went right ahead, and Isaac on the way up there said, well, we've got this and we've got that prepared, but where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? He said, the Lord will provide the sacrifice. The Lord will provide the sacrifice. So here's a mountain where faith was proved. I've been on that mountain. I've been down in the place where they cut the throat of the lambs and everything. I had that privilege in 1973. I learned a little bit there, but here's the, just think of this here right now, that on this Mount Moriah, Abraham all started to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. He even had him tied down, and there he drawed back the knife and was ready to kill him. But the voice of a ram was in the thicket, so God had provided a sacrifice. So on this mountain, it means God had provided a sacrifice. On this mountain, it means Abraham had got faith. How many knows that faith, Abram's title, turned out to be the father of faith? His title was the father of faith. You know where he got it? He got it on that mountain when he drawed back to his son and was going to cut his throat. There's a mountain there. Yeah. How much begin to see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
How many can you see anything?
Oh, man.
I want you to understand this, that these mountains, in Mount Ararat, meant a new start, and here it means the man of God and the man of faith. Because he what? Obeyed God. He got right down where he's here to kill him. And God said, hold it. So that was on Mount Moriah, the sacrifice, where the father of faith, Abraham was talking. And then we go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Moses met God before the burning bush. Before the burning bush. Well, what did that mean? It meant that God was getting ready to deliver his people from the land of Egypt. Because the message that he got from the burning bush, you know, it didn't go out. The fire just kept burning. And so Moses turned aside to see what kept the bush burning. And a voice from in that bush began to speak to Moses. And it wound up telling him, go down and tell Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, let my people go. Moses done that, and so therefore the children of Israel was released from their bondage, so this one could stand for released from bondage. Wouldn't it be nice if everybody in the church would get released from bondage? There's people sitting right here tonight. You're bound somewhere or other, and you don't want to hear the word of God. You singing's good. You know, I like to sing. I like to have a singing a ministry. We sing all the time, me and my wife. We do a lot of singing. But I'll tell you, there's room for the word. There's room for faith, and there's room for the power of God, and there's room for deliverance, and there's room that we need to get on some of these mountains. We need to climb some of these mountains and get set free.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. So Moses experienced this, and it meant to deliver God's people. It's a mountain. He was on when he heard this. Exodus chapter 19, verse 20, 11, verse through 20. Mount Sinai. Moses received the law on Mount Sinai. The law. Well, the law and the prophet, Luke 16:16 says that the law and the prophets were till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached and every man presseth into it. What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14:17, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How many like to have that?
Amen.
Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Well, that's what he's talking about here. This mount up there where Jesus took the three, Moses represented the law and Elijah represented the prophets. But guess what? You'll find in that scripture where God incorporated all three ministries in one day, and it became the law and the prophet's word of John. Since that time, the kingdom of God's preached, and every man's pressed into it. How many got that? So here we find that that this Exodus 19:11 verse 20, on Mount Sinai, Moses received the law. Now, let's go to another one. 1 Kings 18:19, Mount Carmel, where Elijah gathered all the prophets of Baal on top of this mountain. They done all their thing. They danced before their sacrifice. They made their sacrifice and all. And after they got done, Elijah just backed off and said a little bit of prayer, and the power of God fell, and it gobbled up their sacrifice. It gobbled up the water. It gobbled up the dust. It licked up the dust. And guess what happened? There was a deliverance from Jezebel and all of her crowd. Boy, I'd like to see that today.
Amen.
Jezebel and her crowd. You know who they were? They were the prophets of Baal. And you know what happened to them that day? They took them down by the brook and slayed every one of them. And I want you to know it meant a clean house. How many knows it? But we need a clean house once sometimes. We need a clean house in the church sometimes. I'm not afraid to preach on clean houses. I'm not afraid to preach on holiness. So a lot of folks are scared to death to preach on holiness, afraid somebody get offended. I'll tell you what, there's going to be somebody get offended whether you preach anything or not. I'll talk about you, people that gets offended, that they need deliverance. They need what Moses, they need one of these mountains to get on and get set free. The freedom is there if we'll just climb that mountain. Let's climb up that mountain where still lies the fountain, the song said. And we need to have these things are very important in our life, that we understand where we're at today. The law and the prophets, word of John, since that time the kingdom of God's preached, and every man presses into it. That's everybody's job. Yeah. Now, so here we find that Elijah really prayed something down that day. Then we find one here in the Mount of Olives. How many remembers the Mount of Olives? Jesus took his disciples and people out to the Mount of Olives. And he talked to them there in Acts chapter 1. And after he got done saying what he wanted to say, he was caught up and ascended up. And the Bible said he sat down at the right hand of God. And so things have changed now. How many knows that we have a mediator between us and God, Jesus Christ the right. You know why? Because he went up through these mountains.
Amen.
He came off the mountain and healed everybody he touched. Elijah had a part in mountains. Noah had a part in mountains. First it was water and then mountains. But let's go on just a little bit further here. The Mount of Olives. Jesus takes his crowd out and he talks to them there, and then he was ascended up on high. And the Bible teaches that he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And if he sat at the right hand, that he is our mediator between man and God. Isn't that a change? You didn't have to go to the law to get something took care of. You didn't have to go through this mountain or through that thing or this something else. We've got something there that's called a man called Jesus Christ that endured the cross, sat down at the right hand of the Master on high, and he's sitting there right now, and he's ready to meet your need, your prayer, whatever that it is. He'll answer your prayer. You can't get to God but by him. St. John 14:6 said, he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You just can't get through without him. You got to go through that mountain. And he is a mountain.
Yeah.
He is a mountain. You'll find in Daniel that there was a rock hewn out of the mountain, and it rolled through Babylon and destroyed the kingdoms of the world. That's getting ready to happen, church. That rock that's being hewn out of the mountain, it's going to roll through Babylon. And no telling what it's going to do, but it's going to tear down the kingdoms of this world. Mark it down. We find here that Elijah on Carmel, Christ ascended on to heaven, and then we find these mountains that we're talking about here. Each one have an important part in this. But I want to go back now to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 17, and Jesus takes his three men I call it inner circle, and he took them up on the mountain to show them what's going to happen. Let me tell you, I'm going to talk to you real quiet here just a minute. You don't know what you're missing if you don't take time to go up in the mountain with God and meditate and pray and let God show you what he wants.
Yeah.
You don't know what you're missing.
Yeah.
And everyone can do it. Anybody can get up in the mountain. And everybody can backslide too. You see, it can be either way. So Jesus, one day, he's going to show them a new way. You see, they came from the ark, and of course, first thing Noah got, he planted the vineyard, then when God drunk. After all that, isn't that just like people? Well, so the ark landed on the mountain. Mount Moriah, Abraham went to the mountain and offered Isaac as a sacrifice. That was the mountain. Where was it? In Mount Moriah. Exodus 3, 1 and 2, Moses to go to the burning bush and empowered to deliver God's people out of the land of Egypt. On that mountain, where it happened. Exodus 19, 11, verse 20, Mount Sinai, Moses received the law, which was the best that he could do at that time. Ain't you glad we ain't under the law? Exodus chapter 19, Moses received the law to guide the church until this main mountain came along. 1 Kings 18, 19, Elijah sacrificed and destroyed the prophets of Baal and later Jezebel also. Mount of Olives, Jesus ascended on high. That's his last step, was on the Mount of Olives. And he stood there and he told them, said, you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Acts 1 and 8, and you'll receive power. And that's exactly what happened. You know why? Because he's sitting on the mountain of mountains. He's sitting on the right hand of God right now. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Not just a little dab. He has all power in heaven and earth. He's on the top mountain, and we need to get up there with him and let him teach us these things. Isaiah chapter 2 said, come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord and let him teach us his ways, and we will walk therein. Write that down, Isaiah. That's in a prophecy. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord and let him teach us his ways, and we will walk therein. You know, that's the last days they're going to do that. I don't know when they're going to do that. Right now they're dealing with ISIS and all kinds of things, you know, that really, if they just turned to God, everybody just turned to God, it'd settle it all. Wouldn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, sure. If they let God take control.
Amen.
If it ain't right, it ain't right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Somebody said, but you see, we can't have respect to person because that's sin. So here we find this here. And now we're going back here to this. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Now this was a mountain that was apart from other mountains. This is a special mountain. He's taking his special men to a special mountain to receive the sight and the vision of Christ. Now listen to what he said. And was transfigured. He was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun. And his raiment was white as light. There was light around there. And he said, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Now here we've got Moses and we've got Elias. And we've got Jesus. They're having a conversation. There's getting to be ready to be something happen here. Things are going to change forever. Forever and ever and ever. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias. And then verse 4 said, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. You know, Peter got all excited. How many know excitement ain't all what this is about? Now, I get real excited sometimes. Having it right here, I don't know, but sometimes I get real excited. I can preach and run. I ain't never tried to jump over a pew like one fellow did. I never got that excited, but I just believe that the Spirit of God on the inside of us excites us. I believe if you've got the Spirit, you've got to be excited.
Amen.
If you've got the Word, you've got to be excited. Huh? Amen. You know, if you're excited, then you're going to shout. You got to shout sometime. Somebody said, I'm holding it to the end. Turn it loose. There's somebody else to join you. Amen. I said one time I was preaching revival and out in the country church and the house is packed out. There's many people there. Had the windows up, you know, and the people looking in the windows and all, always having revival. And one sister said, she said, I just felt like shouting. And she said, finally I shouted. And you know what happened? A whole bunch of them started shouting. They had a shouting good time. Somebody said, well, how about the Word? I'm preaching the Word, and that ought to make anybody shout.
Amen.
I don't have to be in front of somebody to make a shoulder shout. I do a whole lot of it. You ask my wife, I do a lot of it around the house, weeping and meditating and praying and actually in the inside, a shouting. We need to shout for God. We need it on the inside, whether it shows on the outside or not. After a while, it will show itself.
Yeah, man.
Now, what is it doing? He was transfigured before them. His raiment was white as light. And Moses and Elias was talking with Jesus. How many's got your Bible open to this? Peter said unto them, he gets excited and he wants to build 3 tabernacles. Do you know that's what's the matter with the church today? Everybody wants its own little tabernacle. And they say that's the only one. Huh? I believe in tabernacles. I love this church. I wouldn't come back. I've been back 3 years in a row.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But I'd like to see you shout.
Amen.
I'd like to see you dance. I'd like to see you get the vision of what I'm preaching right now, though that's the main thing I'd like to see you get. Then said Peter said, let's build 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elias. See, they didn't need that on that mountain, and that wasn't the point at all. The thing of it was they was getting ready to see the real tabernacle unfold before their very eyes. Listen to it. This says verse 5. While he yet spake, while Peter was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud. Now, wonder who that was. Let's all say, who was that out of the cloud? Jesus was there. Talking to Moses and Elias, who was that in the cloud? Huh? That was God the Father.
Amen.
Up there in the cloud, he's watching everything. He's wanting to see the show. Boy, was he ever getting ready to say something. Yeah. And the voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well. Please hear ye him. He's the tabernacle. Oh. So if he's the tabernacle, how many means we ought to be like him?
Amen.
I want to see the hand of everybody that thinks we ought to be as much like him as we can. All of you want to be like him, don't you? All right, he's the tabernacle. Guess who the tabernacle is now? You.
Yeah.
You're the tabernacle. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 said, know ye not that you are the temple of God?
Yes.
And anybody defiles that temple, he'll be destroyed. Yeah. You're the tabernacle.
Amen.
So what he's going to show him, he didn't need 3 tabernacles. He's on the mountain of 1 tabernacle. He's on the mountain. You know the mountain that Isaiah said, let's go up and see and hear. That's the mountain of the Lord. That's the Lord up there on the mountain. That he is the mountain. He is the Lord. He is the tabernacle. And you're the tabernacle. You're part of the tabernacle. We're part of the body, so we're part of the tabernacle.
Yes.
Somebody said, that's pretty stout meat. Strong meat belongs to them of their full age, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Strong meat.
Amen.
We need some strong meat.
Yeah.
Huh? Amen. Now listen to what else he said here. while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell down on their face and were so afraid. They just fell on their face and began to weep and with fear. They heard this. They knew they was in the presence of God because he spoke out of the cloud. They knew that Jesus was there. And God's getting ready to do something. Verse 7 says, and Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes and saw no man save Jesus only, they didn't see Moses. They didn't see Elias. Only the tabernacle was there. Jesus Christ himself was there. What does that tell you? Let me explain it. Moses and Elias' ministry still stands. Elias, you know, they went on to ask about Elias and said, Elias has already come. Now, what does that tell you? That means today that three things were incorporated together and put into one order and one power and one tabernacle. How many's getting this? Come here, Brother Gaither. We'll use an illustration. We're up here on the mountain. God's doing something. He's got his chosen ones together. Come here, Brother, here. And it's getting ready to be a change in everything. It ain't going to be just law and prophets anymore. It's going to be the whole bundle. Let's see. Brother Guy, would you come and stand with these? These men are going to represent Jesus and Moses and Elias. That's all been separated, you know. Jesus is just now getting ready to get into this thing and be the tabernacle. And that's what God said, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. Now, then we're going to take this one person here and use him as the tabernacle, as Christ. So then we're going to take this one here and put him in, incorporate him into that tabernacle. Then we're going to take this one here and incorporate, this is Elias, and this is Moses, and this is Christ. And so we incorporate all three of these here together, and you've got the power of God that we have in the church today.
Hallelujah.
And without that, see, a lot of folks are just depending under the law. Huh? Romans chapter 8 verse 1 said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law couldn't do it because it was of the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And so now these three represent something. They represent the body. They represent the mountain. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if these here three, each one of them complements one another, but Jesus is the one that's chosen. He's an illuminator. He's got all power in heaven and earth. Now here, it doesn't make any difference what church you go to. The thing of it is, you've got to be incorporated into Christ.
Amen.
These two, Elijah done it, Moses done it, is incorporated into it. And except we be incorporated into Christ, we must be born again. And if we're not born again, we're in trouble.
Amen.
Now somebody said, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again when he's old? Well, I'll tell you how he can be born again when he's old. He's born of the Spirit. It's his spirit, man. God spoke to Adam and Eve, said, the day you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. They did die. They died, their spirit man died. So that's why I had to be born again. And just like you, you have to be born again. And God is just no respect for a person. No, I must be born again. And I become part of that mountain. Daniel saw it. He said, a mountain. And out of that mountain was human. Great stone. And that stone rolled through Babylon and it tore down the kingdoms of the world. Church, we're supposed to be tearing down the kingdoms of the world instead of joining them.
Yeah,
See, people's joining the world and thinking it's God. You're not supposed to join the world. If the love of the love, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. John said that.
Yeah,
somebody said, "Well, I don't know. I don't claim to be important, but that one thing I know is the Bible. I've studied it hard. I don't know it all. I'm striving to get more." Somebody said, "Do you think you're on the top?" No, I'm like Paul. He said, "Not as I've already attained." He said, "I haven't already attained, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus." Not as I've already attained. I'm not attained. You haven't attained. So what have we got to do? We've got to press. I press towards the mark, he said, of the prize in Christ Jesus. There's a pressing that the church must do. Every now and then I take a real special burden for people. And God just begins to reveal himself. But I hope what you've seen this tonight, that things are not, the Old Testament is incorporated into the New Testament. And these two men, Elias and the prophet Elias, the lawgiver Moses, these were incorporated into Christ. And Christ was incorporated into the Father. He's sitting at the Godhead. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. How many knows that? That's what the Bible said. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. How do we pray? There's only one way you can pray. I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Now, how in the world can I pray in the name of Jesus if I'm not incorporated in Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, if I'm a hypocrite and I low down something and I try to pray in the name of Jesus, I'm really in a mess. I have to be clean. You know, we have to reproach. Get rid of all reproach. Bring it into cleanness. When the musicians come, you fellas can sit down. Since you're incorporated, you'll have to walk together. You can't get away from one another. Praise the Lord. Praise God. So, God is dealing with the church today. There's only one Lord and one faith and one baptism. One Lord. Jesus Christ is always the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's always in touch with the Father. And guess what? He's always ready to be in touch with us.
Amen.
He'll hear us. He said, "Call on me and I will answer thee and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not." If you'll just call. Father told me one time, he said, I think he said he had a toothache or something. And I said, "Well, why don't we just pray?" Now, people get some funny ideas. He said, "Well, I just don't want to bother the Lord. He's busy as he is. I don't want to put any more on him." He said, "What about you? Would you pray for this toothache?" I said, "Yeah, sure. Pray for it. Pray for that toothache." I said, "Fact of the matter is, if I get a toothache, I'm not going to quit praying until he hears. He's going to be bothered with me because he said he'd do it. And then I'm going to examine myself and see if I'm right." You know, we need to examine ourselves, see if we're in the faith. That's one of the main scriptures in Corinthians. Examine yourselves to see whether you be in the faith or not. You know, the key to really living a good Christian life is to always examine ourselves. We got a bad habit of examining each other. You have no right to examine someone else. You examine ourselves. Amen. And then if we examine ourselves and we've got it all fixed, we're going to be able to help somebody. I mean, knows that. And that's what God wants. He wants us to help each other.